Hi, everybody. Good morning and good afternoon to those of you in Israel. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you, Nina. I just have to say, first of all, that it's such a pleasure and honor to be doing this program, Joint Yom Iyun. First time we've done an official joint program with Stern College, our wonderful TAC board, under the leadership of Nina Siegel and Rachel Barnett, and you know, a whole bunch of other incredibly talented, bright, inspiring young women. We're doing this joint program with the CJF and the Center for Jewish Future, Rabbi Dov Winston and Rabbi Shur, and it's such an wonderful opportunity to really join together, both from the administration at Yeshiva University, together with the students who really took ownership of this program. So this is the first time we're doing this, and we're looking forward to continuing programming together in partnership, you know, which I think is really very wonderful. So thank you, everybody who planned this, who participated in this. My friend Dina Skunder, who's coming on next. It's fun to be together. My host child friends, this is very nice. And all of you who joined, from local here, from Israel. You know, it's really, really very nice to be spending the morning in Rosh Hashanah together, learning a little bit. I mean, it's such a great way to start the year after, you know, immediately after Rosh Hashanah. So to have a Yom Iyun like this to continue the theme of Rosh Hashanah and, you know, starting a new year right and moving forward to grow, and, you know, want to long for the upcoming year. So yes, I would everybody a Shana Tova, Ktiva V'Chatima Tova, and let's learn together. So I guess we'll talk about Tshuva today. You know, we're starting Bas Tesdemei Tshuva, heading towards Yom Kippur this week or the beginning of next week. A little bit about Tshuva. You should have your worksheets. You can follow along with me if you want, and you know, we go through everything together. Anyone who knows me knows I always give out source sheets, so it keeps me focused. I don't ramble. I have another great speaker after this. Anyway, so starting with the Medrash talks about Shishah Dvarim Kadmu L'Briyat HaOlam. There were six things that pre-existed the creation of the world. There are those things that, you know, Hashem actually, you know, created, and then other things that he thought about in order to create. And if you skip down to the end, one of the six things that pre-existed the creation of the world, Rabbi Ahava Rabbi Zeir Amar, and I just want to point out, I love that the name of the person is Rabbi Ahava, and it's just a nice idea, because we'll see that's really what is the reason. It's Ahavat Hashem that causes us to enable us to have the opportunity to do tshuva. Rabbi Ahava Rabbi Zeir Amar Afa Tshuva. Rabbi Ahava says tshuva is one of these things, that tshuva is one of the six things that was created before the creation of the world, six or seven, depending on your opinion, that the world couldn't have existed without the concept of tshuva. And that's what Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says as well in the following source, Ad shelo nivra haolam, haya kadosh baruch hu shmo gadol bilvad. Before the world was created, the only, you know, the only being that existed in the world was Hashem. Okay, so Hashem, until the world was created, the only thing that existed was Hashem, and Hashem decided to destroy to create the world. Livra et ha'olam, v'haya macharit et ha'olam lefanav, v'lo haya omed. And Hashem wanted to sketch out the world, and it wasn't going to be able to last. Mashal l'mahadavar domeh, what is this similar to? Lemelech shehu rotzeh livnot palitrin shelo, like a king who wants to build a palace. Im eino macharit be'eret yisodotav u'mevo'av motza'av, if he doesn't lay a foundation, if he doesn't make a blueprint and figure out how to, you know, build it and where the entrances and exits and the foundation should be, eino matchil livnot. You don't start building. You don't just buy building material and you start building and hope for the best. But rather, you get, you know, blueprints. You get an architect.
So that's the same with Hashem. He didn't just start building the world until he created tshuva, because tshuva is really the foundation of the world. The world wouldn't exist. It would crumble. It wouldn't stand if not for tshuva. Seven things were created before the world was created, according to Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. I told you it's either six or seven. Torah, Gehenim, Gan Eden, Kisei HaKavod, Beis HaMikdash, Utshuva, Ushmo Shel Mashiach. So these are the things that were created. The world couldn't have existed before there was tshuva in the world. And we see that from the very beginning of the world and the beginning of man. If you look at our third source here, the very third Rashi in the Torah talks about this concept. Rashi brings the Dibur HaMatzchil Bara Elokim, V'lo Amar Bara Hashem. It doesn't say Bara Hashem. Now again, there are different names of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei versus Elokim. Yud Kei Vav Kei is the shame that represents, the name of God that represents Rachamim, and Elokim represents Din. And when Hashem first created the world, the word, the name for Hashem was Elokim, Bereshit Bara Elokim et Hashamayim v'et Haaretz. Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the more common name of Hashem throughout the Torah, is only introduced later on after man is created. And Rashi points that out. Bara Elokim v'lo amar Bara Hashem. It doesn't start out saying Bara Hashem. Shebitchila ala b'machshava libratzo b'midat hadin. That originally Hashem was creating everything with midat hadin, with the midah of judgment of Hashem. V'ra'a she'ein ha'olam mitkayim. But he realized, he saw, didn't realize, not like he thought it would, but the world wasn't going to be able to continue existing. So higdim midat rachamim v'shatfa. And that's when he introduced Midat HaRachamim after man is created, meaning Midat HaDin works when, you know, with everything else in the world except for man, who has Bechira. And, you know, as human beings, we mess up, we make mistakes, and therefore we can't just be judged with Midat HaDin because we won't be able to survive. And therefore Hashem, after the creation of man, if you see the end of Rashi, Dichtiv, Hainu Dichtiv, Biyom Asot Hashem Elokim Eretz B'Shamayim, beginning of Perek Bet, after Shabbos is created and brought into the 7 days of creation, that's when we have the introduction of Hashem Elokim, the combination of Midat HaDin together with Midat HaRachamim, because man couldn't have existed without that. From the very beginning of the Torah, you see that Hashem wants us to tap into this Midat HaRachamim. The whole reason that we have the ability to do tshuva is because of Hashem's Midat HaRachamim. You know, in any given situation, you know, you do something wrong, there are consequences. You drink poison, you die. Like, the whole concept of tshuva allows us to undo what we've done. And we see that Hashem wants us to utilize that and tap into that from the very beginning of man. The very first sin, when Adam eats from the Eitz Hadas, you know, Adam was able to do anything he wanted except one thing, and that one thing he did. And he eats from the Eitz Hadas. And we see after, when Hashem confronts him, we don't see any anger by Hashem. We don't see Vayichar af Hashem bo. We don't see Hashem, you know, the word anger, you know, being said here. What we see is in Perek Gimel of Bereishit, Vayitzchabei Adam v'Ishto mipnei Hashem Elokim b'toch Eitz Hagan. Adam and Chava ate from the tree that they weren't supposed to eat from the Eitz Hadas. And they're hiding from Hashem, so they know they did something wrong. Notice the Hashem Elokim, they're hiding from Hashem Elokim, the Midat HaDin, but together with Midat HaRachamim. And it repeats again, Vayikra Hashem Elokim El HaAdam, Vayomer Lo Ayaka. Hashem Elokim calls to Adam, and he says, Ayaka. This is the very first confrontation Hashem has with Adam after he sins. Where are you, he says. And if you look at Rashi there, Ayaka, Yodeh Hayah Hechanu. Of course Hashem knew where he was. He's not playing hide and seek with him and trying to find him. Ela Likanes. He wanted to enter Adam in a conversation, that he shouldn't be afraid. Adam shouldn't be afraid to come clean, to admit what he did, if Hashem immediately punishes him. And Hashem comes in and says, Adam, get over here. You know, he wants Adam to tap into tshuva. He wants to have a conversation with him. He wants Adam to admit what he did, to take responsibility. Would there have been consequences? Probably, but maybe they wouldn't have been as harsh, as severe. In other words, what Hashem wants Adam to learn here, yes, you messed up. You did something really bad, but it's most important to admit what you've done, take responsibility for it, and do tshuva, this concept that I've created within the foundation of the world. And of course, Adam does not take the bait for that. And Adam's response is, when Hashem asks him where he is, he says, "At kolcha shamati bagan ve'era ke roma nochi bechabe." He says, "Well, I heard your voice, and I hid because I'm naked. I'm embarrassed." By Yomer, so Hashem asked the next very leading question, even more than Ayeka. Hamin ha'etz, oh, mihi gid lacha ki aromata. How do you know that you're naked? Hamin ha'etz, asher tziviticha labilti achomi menu achalta. Could it be? Possibly, theoretically, I added that, hypothetically, you ate from the tree that I told you not to eat from? And Adam's response is, if it wasn't so sad and so tragic, it would be almost comical, this whole scene here. By Yomar HaAdam, yes, but ha'isha shenatata imadihina tzaminin ha'is v'achal. You know, it's her fault. The woman that you gave me, her fault, your fault. There's no personal responsibility, no personal accountability here. And then what's comical, or again, tragic, Hashem then turns to Chava and says, Chava, what did you do here? You know, by Yomar Hashem Elokim Leisha, again, Hashem Elokim, Mazot Asit, Vatomar Isha, Nachash Asiyani Va'achal. You know, it wasn't my fault. Yes, I did it, but it was the snake's fault. And nobody's taking personal accountability. Nobody's taking responsibility and tapping into this tshuva that Hashem so desperately wants them to tap into. The next story of man also with Cain and Hevel. Very similar. Cain and Hevel each bring a carbon. I'd like to mention that it was Cain that brought it first. That's a different year, you know. And he was doing a nice thing, but he wasn't mechubad for whatever reasons. Again, part of a different year, you know, why his carbon wasn't accepted and Hevel's was accepted. And El Cain ve'El Minchato in the next source in Perek Dalid, lo sha'a, Hashem did not accept Cain's carbon. And Cain's reaction is vayichar l'Cain ma'od vayiplu panav. He's very angry. And he's very upset. And he's sad. And Hashem responds, and Hashem says, "Vayomer Hashem el Cain, lama chara lacha v'lama naflu panecha? Why are you so angry and why are you so upset? I'm not angry." The Sephardim says very beautifully there that you know, Hashem tells him, like, pick up and move forward. Like, okay, so you did something, you mess up, you know, people mess up, and maybe you brought something that wasn't so mechubad, but pick yourself up and move forward. I'm not upset at you. And of course, Cain doesn't listen to that. And Cain, Hashem gives him very uplifting words of wisdom, good therapy over here. Again, a different shear. And then Cain gets up and he kills his brother and he lets the anger overtake him. And even after he kills Hevel, even after he didn't heed Hashem's advice and he kills Hevel, what happens? Hashem says to him, Hashem says to him the same thing he said to Adam. Same word. A ayeka. Where is Hevel your brother? And Rashi points out there. Hevel achicha likanesimo b'divrei nachat. Again, same exact Rashi, just one parak later. Perek Bet Pasuk Tet, and then Perek Gimel Pasuk Tet happens to be that way. That's a coincidence. But A Hevel Achicha, again, he knows where Hevel is. He knows very well that Cain killed him. But he wants Cain to take accountability, to confess, to do vidui, to start the tshuva process. You can't do the tshuva process if you don't admit what you've done. You know, if you're always blaming other people, you can't start tshuva. Tshuva has to be that you first admit what you've done, then you feel bad about it, then, you know, the Rambam goes through all the levels of tshuva, and then Kabbalah Atid is the final one. You know, that if you're in the same situation, you'll learn from it and you won't do what you did previously. And he's not even admitting what he did. And notice how Rashi says, right? I just love that Rashi adds the word nachat here. If you notice, before when he asked Adam where he is, he says ayeka. Rashi says likanesimo b'divarim, that he should enter him in words. And here he adds divrei nachat. I don't know. I have a thought. Maybe that that Rashi is saying that he's pointing out that maybe Cain needs like more pleasant words. He needs a bigger push to do tshuva because he doesn't even seem to feel bad about what he did. Like Adam and Chava, when Hashem confronts Adam and Chava, at least they're hiding. You know, if they're hiding, that means they know they did something wrong. You don't see that at all from Cain. And maybe, I don't know, again, I wish I could ask Rashi, but maybe that's why Rashi adds the word nachatz. You know, he's giving a Kayin even a little more of a push. Ulay yashiv yomar, ani haragti v'chatati lach. Maybe he'll start the tshuva process and he'll say, oh gosh, I'm so sorry. I killed him. I let anger get over me. Again, would there be consequences? Yes, but, you know, at least admit what you've done and start taking ownership of what you've done to start the tshuva process in motion. We're going to come back to Sefer Yonah. So we're going to come back to source number 8 and 9. We'll end with that. So make up for a little bit of the lost time. We'll come back to that for sure. There's a very interesting Yalkut Shimoni in source number 10, you know, that talks about this concept of tshuva. Like, so what we see so far is that Hashem introduced tshuva into the fabric of the world, the foundation of the world, because we couldn't exist without it. And it's coming from the midat harachamim of Hashem. The whole concept of tshuva, like I mentioned before, like I referenced before, it doesn't make sense. It's really, you know, it doesn't make sense that you could undo something that you've done. It's not logical. It's not rational. And that's what the Yalkut Shimoni says, number 10. It's an interesting Yalkut Shimoni that hanefesh achotahi tamut. That basically, just to explain the background here, that, you know, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim, metaphorically were asked, what happens to someone who sinned? Shalula chachma, chotem mahu ansho, amailo chataim tirdofra'a. That ktuvim were asked, chachma's ktuvim is another word for ktuvim, that what happens if someone sins? And if you look through ktuvim, the response to someone who sins is that you'll be chased by the evil ways of your chataim. You'll be chased by them. Shalula nivua chote mahu ansho, and nevi'im, you know, what happens in the sifrei nevi'im, if a sinner, again metaphorically, if sifrei nevi'im would be asked what happens to a sinner, amar hanefesh achotah hi tamut, if you sin you die, there are consequences. Shalula Torah metaphorically was asked, chote mahu ansho. Amarlo yavi ashamit kaperlo. Okay, this is a little better. You could be forgiven, but you have to bring a karban asham. You have to do something physical, technical, in order to be forgiven. But then shalula kadosh baruch hu chotem mahu ansho. But when Hashem is asked what happens to a sinner, amar ya'aset shuvavit kaperlo. You don't even need to bring karban asham. You don't need to die. Your sins aren't going to follow you. You just do this magical thing called tshuva, and it all goes away, and your sins go away. That only with Hashem does tshuva work in this way, that you can do nothing, again, whatever this tshuva is, which is not something physical, not something concrete per se, and it erases your sin. And again, there's a contradiction here. There's a contradiction that, like I said before, you drink poison, you die. How do you can't undrink it. But Hashem is allowing us to undrink this. And not only that, but if you look at the Gemara in Yuma, that you have Gdola Tshuva Shemagia Ad Kisei HaKavod, that tshuva is so important and so strong and so powerful that it goes straight up to Hashem. And then there's a whole discussion. There are two opinions. When you do tshuva, real tshuva, either the sins you did on purpose become accidental, or the next opinion, Gdola tshuva, second to last line, Gdola tshuva shezidonot nasot lo kizchuyot. But then you have an opinion, which is the majority opinion, that not only do they disappear, or, you know, they're accidental and not purpose, on purpose, but they become like schuyot. So the things that you did bad now become merit for you. That's illogical. That doesn't make sense. So not only are we forgiven, but our chataim can change into schuyot. Rav Tzadok HaKohen in Sitkas HaTzadik, in our next source in number 12, has such an interesting idea here. And, you know, why you have this concept of your sins turning into zchuyot and not just disappearing. You know, it's one step higher. He says, tshuva, hainu shemeshiv oto davar el Hashem yisbarach. That the whole word tshuva means to return. So we always understand that we return to Hashem. He says that you return something to Hashem. It's not just that you are returning to Hashem. What are you returning to Hashem? This is a very deep idea. We believe that everything comes from Hashem. All our kochot come from Hashem. Afilo machshava terem notzra b'libo shel adam. Anything that comes up that we think in our minds or we're thinking of comes from Hashem. Any koch we have, any talents we have, any power we have, any thought, any insight, we believe the source is Hashem. Nimcha Hashem itbarach natan lo koch az gam be'aveira. This is the deep idea. That Hashem also gives us koach to do aveira. Whatever koach we have to sin, to make mistakes, that also comes from Hashem. You know, this is the beauty and also difficulty of Judaism. I feel like this is the challenge, that the good and the bad comes from Hashem. That's why we have questions about, you know, why bad things happen to good people. We grapple with that. You know, unlike some other religions, let's say like Christianity, the good, God is all good and the devil is evil. You know, Satan does the bad stuff, God does the good stuff, and they're two totally different entities. And then it's easier because God is all good, just Satan gets the better of him sometimes, you know, or Satan gets his way. You know, we don't believe that. We believe that Satan is not a free agent, that everything good and bad comes from Hashem. That's what we say, you know, Purim time. You know, there's no difference in Haman and Mordechai. Everything comes from Hashem. So it's more difficult for us philosophically to deal with the fact that the bad comes from Hashem. It's not a, you know, separate entity. But the fact that it comes from Hashem, so Hashem, our kochot to do tshuva, averot, sins and bad stuff also comes from Hashem. And therefore, after we do full tshuva, that's why our bad stuff turns into good stuff, because we're returning those kochot to do good. The koch that we have, the talents, the abilities that we have from Hashem that we use to do bad, once we do tshuva, now they're being returned back to doing good. So that's what it means. That's why they turn into merits, because they're coming from Hashem and we're taking something that we got that we used to be bad and now we're making it good. So that's why it becomes merits for us. You know, nasin zchuyot. And furthermore, if you look at the Sefer Carmel, number 13, it's actually the Malbim. The Malbim wrote an interesting, it's like a dictionary. And it's called Sefer Carmel. And he talks about the word shuv, tshuva. And he takes this idea. He says, shuv derohu sheshav el hamakom, or al hayinyan shehaya bo tchila. So yes, teshuva comes from the word shuv, which means that we're returning to Hashem. But notice the last thing, al hayinyan shehaya bo tchila. We're returning, it's not just that we're coming close to Hashem, we're returning something. When you return something, something was lost and you're returning it. So again, how Rav Tzadok HaKohen says that it's, you know, kochot that should have been used for good, were used for bad, so we're returning it back to good. The Malbim says we're returning back to what we were, which is good. Another big difference between us and other religions is that we are not born sinners. Elokeinu shama shenatata b'tahorahi. We are born pure. We don't have to, you know, go through whatever, you know, a baptism to become pure. You know, we're not born sinners. We're born pure and good. And when we sin, the sins cover our neshama that is still pure, but it's covered with ra. So when we do tshuva, we're returning our neshama to its original state of purity. So that's what it means, tshuva. It's like that's what we're supposed to be. That's our status quo. So we go back to what our status quo is. We're not meant to be bad. And that's what tshuva means. And the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva says very famously, Midarkei Tshuva, in source number 14, Liot Hashav Tzoek Tamid Lifnei Hashem, if you cry out to Hashem and you do the real tshuva, and to the point that you're, you know, kefi kocho mitrachei karbe min hadavar, you're so far away. Sometimes you're at the point where you did such bad things and you do tshuva, you're so far away, you remove everything bad that you've done that you're almost like a new person. You could even in some situations you could change your name and you say I'm a different person and you change your ways. Sometimes you'll even move, you know, you'll exile yourself from where you were to become this new person. That tshuva really undoes your past. You know, it makes you into this new person. And that's what's so powerful about the tshuva, about the whole tshuva process. We were talking about that we're really good people. There's a very beautiful vort from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik who says, you know, a very beautiful idea just to throw in there. We know that line, you know, the pasuk that you should rebuke your fellow man, you know, hochech tochech, you should give mussar, you should rebuke them. And if you look at the word hocheach, he says, lehochiach means to prove. It doesn't mean to rebuke. I mean, tochecha is, you know, rebuke, but lehochiach in Hebrew means to remind, to prove. So he says that's the idea of giving tochecha, to prove to him that he's amitecha, that your fellow Jew, you know, he has a neshama tahora. That's the only way to give tochecha, to remind them, to prove to them that they really are good, that these, you know, whatever you covered, whatever ra you covered your neshama with is not really you. So it's a very beautiful idea. Anyway, the Gemara in Yuma actually continues in source number 14, talks about what Tshuva does. There's just one line in here, you know, when you go back, he says you can't do Tshuva one Yom Kippur for things you did last Yom Kippur. You know, im shana bahem tzarich litvadot Yom Kippur macher. You know, if you did bad, you have to do tshuva on Yom Kippur, because if you try to do tshuva again on things you did in the past, he says kekelav shava ka'o kesil shone ba'avlo. He says it's almost like a, you know, it's very graphic, but like a dog like eating his vomit. You know, like you've already expunged the chait from you. This is again the power of tshuva. Tshuva expunged the chait from you. So if you go back and you do tshuva again on the things that you've expunged, you're just, you know, eating what you've expunged. So again, the concept of tshuva allows us to completely rid ourselves of what we've done, which is this amazing idea. Going back to Yonah now, let's go back to Sefer Yonah. And I think Yonah brings this whole idea together about what exactly tshuva is and where it comes from. So we've established that it's something that comes from Hashem. It was created in the fabric of the world, in the foundation of the world. The world wouldn't be able to last without this concept of tshuva. And Hashem gives us this opportunity and wants us to take advantage of this opportunity, even though this concept of tshuva doesn't really make sense. So if you look at Sefer Yonah, Sefer Yonah is a very powerful Sefer. And I think it's often misunderstood. Why? If you ask people, your typical person, why, you know, you read Sefer Yonah on Yom Kippur, we read it at Mincha. I feel like for me personally, that's what gets me back to Shul for Mincha. You know, you're so tired at that point, but you want to hear Sefer Yonah, right? It's short. It's 4 prakim long. And if you ask people why we read Sefer Yonah and Yom Kippur, I think that the typical answer would be, well, because it's a book about tshuva. Okay, shkayach, so it's a book about tshuva. What do you mean it's a book about tshuva? Well, you know, Nineveh was bad and they were going to be destroyed and then they did tshuva. Okay, so it's a book about tshuva. Nineveh did tshuva. And then some people will add in, oh, and Yonah also did tshuva. So it's not exactly true, not entirely true. Yes, it's a book about tshuva. But I don't think that, you know, because Nineveh did tshuva, that's why we're reading it on Yom Kippur. Because not only, I think it goes more than that. And also, not only it's, you know, do I think that there's a deeper reason for this, but Yonah doesn't actually do tshuva. Okay, if you look at Sefer Yonah, let's just overview of Sefer Yonah. And I have the psukim here, but the 4 prakim, right? Perek Aleph. Let's just go through the Sefer, you know, outside for a second. Well, actually, we have Perek Aleph here. Vayhi dvar Hashem al Yonah ben Amitai lemar, kum melech al Nineveh hayera gdola, ukra alea ki alta ra'ata lefanav, lefanai. So Hashem says to Yonah, pick up and go to Nineveh. There's terrible things going on in Nineveh, and yet tell them to do tshuva, otherwise they're going to be destroyed. So, no, Yonah doesn't want to go. Whole slew of reasons why Yonah doesn't want to go, you know, starting with he doesn't want Bnei Israel to look bad. He doesn't really get this whole tshuva thing. And we'll see this later on in the Sefer. So what happens? So he gets up and he runs away. He doesn't want to go to tshuva, to Nineveh. He doesn't want to give them this opportunity. He runs away, at least tries to run away. And he takes a boat and Vayered Yafo, Vayimtza Aniya, Ba Tarshish. He goes to Tarshish. And he goes into the boat. And then, of course, there's a storm. And Hashem's very unhappy with him. And there's a storm on the boat. And everybody's praying. And the boat's going to sink. And the captain and the sailors are all praying. And they go down to Yonah. And they're like, why are you sleeping? You're going to sleep. Like, wake up. You know, shofar, wake up and pray. You know, we're going to sink. And Yonah's like, I don't have to pray. It's my fault. I know it's my fault. God's mad at me. He's like, listen, just throw me overboard. And then the storm will go away. And they're good guys, the sailors. They don't want to do that. But finally, they see they have no choice. They throw him overboard, and the storm goes away. And immediately goes away. And that's how Perek Aleph ends, right? Vayisu et Yonah vayitu hayam vayamod hayam mizapo. And they throw Yonah overboard, and the storm ends, and the sailors brought korbanot. That's the end of Perek Aleph. Perek Bet, which you don't have here. Yonah gets swallowed by the fish. Okay, famous fish part of the story, and he davens. Perek Bet is all about Yonah davening from inside the fish. Now I'm gonna give you a task to do Yom Kippur time. You can do it before if you want. Look through Perek Bet. Look through Yonah in general. It's great, but good book. But Perek Bet, if you look through Perek Bet and you look at the tefillah of Yonah, it's not really tshuva. Like, Yonah really is not saying in Perek Bet, I'm sorry, God, I made a mistake. I should have gone to Nineveh and allowed them to do tshuva, which he does in Perek Gimel. What he's saying is, I'm sorry that I got caught. That's basically the gist of it. I shouldn't have done this because I know you're all powerful, God, and I couldn't run away from you. And I shouldn't have done it because it was just stupid. You know, that's not tshuva. Tshuva isn't, oh gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm such an idiot. Like I shouldn't have done this because I got caught. You feel bad because you got caught. Tshuva is that you feel bad because you did something wrong, even if you weren't caught. You know, it's between you and God. So if you look carefully at Perek Bet, there is no tshuva here. And I'll tell you what the proof is. If there was real tshuva, because what happens at the end of Perek Bet? Yonah basically says, you know, I'm going to do that. You know, like I shouldn't have run away from you because I know that's impossible. So then the fish expunges, you know, spits out Yonah, and that's the end of Perek Bet. And then Perek Gimel, he does what he's supposed to do, and he goes to Nineveh. He tells them they're going to be destroyed. They all do tshuva. Then the story should be over. If the story was all about tshuva and Yonah doing tshuva and Nineveh doing tshuva, then Perek Gimel would have been the end of Sefer Yonah. And instead, it's not. We have another Perek. So we're not done. There's unfinished business. And not only do we have another Perek, but if you look how the second, how Perek Dalet starts, Yonah is so angry. He is so angry. Here, let's look. You should have it in your source sheet over here. Perek Dalet and Yonah. Vayera el Yonah. Story's not over. Yonah is very, very angry, right? Nineveh did tshuva. Everyone should be fine. But Yonah is very angry. Vayitpalel al Hashem, and he davens to Hashem. And what does he say? Vayomer, ana Hashem, halo zed dvari ad heyoti al admati. He said, Hashem, I know this is my words. This I knew. I know this since I've been alive, you know, on this earth. Alken kidamti livrach tarshisha, and that's why I ran away. What is it that I know? Ki yadati ki ata kel rachum v'chanun kel chanun rachum erach apayim rav chesed v'nicham al hara'a. I know that you are merciful. You're kel chanun rachum. You show rachamim to people. You nicham al hara'a. You override the bad. You let people do tshuva, and that's why I ran away. I am not happy about this. What is Yonah not happy with? He's referencing the 13 midos of Hashem here. And he's saying that I know that you're all powerful, right? During Slichos, we get to know these 13 midos a lot, very well. And what is he leaving out here? He says, I know that you are kel chanun v'rachum erech apayim v'rav chesed. And he's leaving out the word emes. And that's very telling. That Yonah feels that Hashem is not emestic, that you're merciful, but you're not emestic. Emes means, in Yonah's mind, if you drink poison, you die. If you sin, you get punished. People have been very bad, they should be punished. Why should you give them an opportunity to do tshuva? I know this about you, God. I know that you give people the opportunity to do tshuva, and that's why I ran away, because it's not emestic. It's not fair. It's not fair. You're too lenient. You're too full of mercy. Ve'ata Hashem kach et nafshi mimeni. Ki tov moti mechayai. And I'm so upset about this. I just want to die because this world. Because God, you're not emistic. And this is Yonah's problem. Yonah's problem is he knows he had to go to Ninveh. He couldn't get away with it. He tried, but he knew he couldn't. But now he has a problem with the whole concept of tshuva. And Hashem says to him, "Yomar Hashem, hey, tev charalacha, you're very angry. Vayetze yonah min ha'ir, vayeshev mikedam le'ir." He can't even watch, you know, what's going on. He goes outside the city. Vayasam sham sukkah, and he sits under some, you know, shade of a sukkah, and to get out of the heat. Vayeman Hashem lokin ki kayon vayal me'al yonah liotzel al rosho lehatzilo mirato. And Hashem makes a, notice the Vayaman, he appoints, Hashem is teaching Yonah a lesson. Like, Yonah needs to learn a lesson. And that's how Sefer Yonah ends, that Hashem makes a, like a tree, like a bush grow next to him, and to give him more shade. Vayismach Yonah ala kikayon simcha gdola, and he's so happy. Vayaman elokim tolat ba'alot ha'shachar l'macharat v'tachat ha'kikayon v'yivash. And then Hashem appoints or commands a like a worm to eat away at the tree, at the bush, and it dries out. And then Hashem makes a strong wind, a very hot wind, come and hit, you know, and this bush is now gone, and the hot wind comes, and Yonah is very, very hot, and he's going to pass out. Again, he wants to die. He says, "I just want to die. I'm so hot. I'm going to pass out. I'm upset at God's rachamim," right? And Hashem says to him, "You're so upset. You're so sad. You want to die. You're so upset about the kikayon, the bush." But Yomer Haitev Charali Ad Mavet. And Yonah says, "Yes, I'm so upset. I don't have it. It's gone. I just want to die." By Yom Hashem, Atachasa Lekikayon, you're so upset about this tree, about this bush. Asher Lo Amalta Bavaloki Dalto Sheben Laila Hayau Ben Laila Avad. You didn't have anything to do with its existence. You didn't plant it. You didn't water it. You didn't have anything to do. One day it was up. It existed, and the next day it was gone, and you're so upset that it's gone now when you had nothing to do with it. Talk about ending in a question up in the air. And I shouldn't have rachamim on Ninveh, this big city that's full of tons of people, thousands of people, and also who don't know the difference between right and wrong, and also so many animals. Right, and it kind of ends up in the air there, you know, that Hashem is teaching Yonah a message about tshuva, that Hashem is teaching him, yes, it's true that it's illogical. It doesn't make sense. If you drink poison, you should die. But I'm allowing people to undrink that. I'm allowing this contradiction, this illogical, irrational concept of tshuva, because these are my creations. This is not just for Jews even. This is all human beings. They were created, B'Tselem Elokim, in my image. I don't want people to die. You're so upset about this tree. You had nothing to do with it. I'm supposed to kill off my creations, people and animals. This is why I have Rachmanis. This is why I allow people to do tshuva, because of my incredible love for people and animals and living things. And that's the message Yonah needed to get. That's the lesson that Hashem needed to teach him. And the Medrash Yonah, there's a beautiful Medrash Yonah. I'm not going to go through number 9. Yonah's crying, and he says, "Now I understand." You know, again, he started crying because he says, "You're not emistic. Like, how, you know, and it doesn't make sense to me." And if you look at Yonah, you know, Yonah, you know, this is like the punchline here. Yonah's name is Yonah ben Amittai, right? Yonah ben Amittai. Is it a coincidence that the word MS is in Yonah's name? He's Mr. MS. He's emistic. He wants to uphold that MS, and he's so angry that Hashem doesn't do that, and that Hashem doesn't uphold MS. And when Yonah learns this lesson from Hashem, so the Medrash Yonah says, Yonah starts crying, and he realizes that the way that Hashem defines MS is not the way Yonah's defining MS. And the real MS in the world is to give people the opportunity to do tshuva. And that's why he cries, and he says, "In me yasep kimasecha, nobody's like you, God. Who does this? Yafe asita, yafe paalta, yafe rachamta, yafe, you know, mikel kamocha, ata emes, ata, etc." You know, read through it. It's I don't have time now, but the Medrash Yonah is very beautiful, and it goes through Yonah's epiphany at the end of the Sefer that, wow, this is why Hashem gives us the opportunity to do tshuva. And this is really in Hashem's definition of MS. This is the MS of the world, that Hashem loves his creation so much that he gives us the opportunity to do something that doesn't seem to make sense. And I think this is why we learn Sefer Yonah, that we lay in Sefer Yonah on Yom Kippur. It's not just a nice little story about tshuva. It's a story, it's a lesson to teach us why we have a concept of tshuva. And Yonah was the perfect person to give this over to learn it, because that's who he is, Yonah ben Amittai. And by the way, the Medrash says, if you remember a story from Sefer Malachim, Eliyahu Anavi, not to be confused with the Elisha story, there's an Eliyahu story where Eliyahu revives the Isha Tsarfatit, and there's the Elisha story who revives the Isha Shunamit's son. Right? So Eliyahu visited this woman and whatever, her son died, and then Eliyahu revived him. And the Medrash says that that boy that he revived was Yonah ben Amittai. You know, that's the conservation of personality theory, another discussion, you know, that people come up in different places in Tanakh. But this is Yonah ben Amittai. And again, you know, either literally or metaphorically, you know, Yonah was the recipient. He was brought back to life. That makes no sense. When you die, you die. You can't be brought back to life. And this is Yonah who's being brought back to life in this irrational moment because of Hashem's love for Eliyahu, because of Hashem's love for people. And this is why Yonah needed to understand this whole concept of tshuva. Tshuva brings us back to life, you know, basically, you know, that's what tshuva does metaphorically. And that's why Yonah ben Amittai is the perfect person to give over this message. And that's why we read it dafka mincha time. We read it, we don't lay in it as a haftorah and shacharit. It's mincha time because, as maybe you know this, but it's we learn that each of the tefillot of the day correspond to one of the different avos, right? Avram established shacharit, and Yitzchak established mincha, and Yaakov established ma'ariv. And Yitzchak was ish hadin, he was emes, Yaakov was emes, but he was din. Yitzchak represented din. So in the afternoon, mincha time, you know, Avram's chesed. So we don't need, say, for Yonah in the morning. Chesed, we understand. But Yitzchak is midat hadin, and that's why the afternoon mincha time is the time that midat hadin is strongest, because it corresponds to Yitzchak. And that's why we need dafka mincha time. We need to read Sefer Yonah, because that reminds us about how rachamim plays such a part in midat hadin, that Hashem's midat hadin is emesdik because it's included, it includes midat rachamim. It's not straight up midat hadin. And that's why we read this on Yom Kippur. And that's why, if we can go into, I thought it was a great message to go into, you know, Aseret Yemei Teshuva and Yom Kippur, think about what a privilege the concept of tshuva is, that we shouldn't take it for granted. Yes, this time of year we've got to do tshuva. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. You know, that's what I call the paradox and privilege. It's a privilege. It's a paradox. It doesn't make sense, but it's a privilege that Hashem is giving us, an opportunity that Hashem is giving us because of his love for us. And if we can think about that this whole week, this is not something we have to do because we're so scared. Just remember Ahavat Hashem towards us. It's because Hashem loves us. Think of a parent. The parent doesn't want to see the kid suffer. Hashem doesn't want to see us suffer. He wants to be connected to us. He gives us the opportunity to do this concept of tshuva, which doesn't seem to make sense from an outside person. He gives us the opportunity because it's coming from an incredible, profound love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us. So I hope that everybody could tap into that privilege that we have, tap into the concept of tshuva, and really remember where it's coming from, and that will give us even more impetus and more enjoyment in tapping into it in order to be connecting to Hashem. So again, everyone should have a ketiva v'chatima tova. This should be a good year of health and joy and fulfillment and inspiration. And you know, it's been certainly been a challenge. We can certainly use a redemption, a geula on every level, you know, personal, communal, national, you know, spiritual, psychological, emotional, and may this year bring all of that. And thank you again for joining us today. You have a great couple speakers coming up. Have a ketiva v'chatima tova, shana tova, and thank you for joining. And just a shout out to my son in Israel, who's maybe the only guy